This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Sean, can I get a request in early? Can we please add some Cascade to Deadmau5 at 2:30?
Yeah, I think we could do that today.
Sean?
Yes.
Please. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
I'd really like that.
We do have...
I've been thinking a lot about your I've been thinking a lot about your offer, Sean.
Oh, about the haircut.
Come over. Would you be comfortable being in close proximity to me and would you feel like I was shunning you if we did it out in the driveway and I didn't let you in the house?
Hey, I actually came up with a plan for this, and the thing is, Sean doesn't have a car, so I decided that if you would like to have your hair cut, you should come to the station. You don't have to come in the building, but you can meet him in the parking lot.
You know what, though? That's something like Curly would do. I wouldn't want to come into the parking lot and have somebody else's hair around my feet.
Well, we'll pick it up. We do our best to sweep it up. Yeah.
No, the wind catches it. No, I can't do that to coworkers.
Well, how about this? I'm thinking of this right now. Nicole, what if you pick me up, we go to Dory's house, and we stay in the driveway? That way we come to him, Papa can stay at home.
No, because then I have to drive you home.
That's true, yes. No, I can catch the bus from his place once I figure out the system there.
He wants his haircut. He has to make the effort.
You sound like Nicole.
I'll just throw it out.
No, what? Dory, I will. I want to cut your hair by any means possible.
Okay, well, maybe we can do it after the
COVID-19 scare then. No, I'm just going to grow it out. I don't want to put you two in any danger. Even though I'm the safest person in the world because I haven't left my house for 3 weeks.
Well, we'll figure it out. You can meet Sean in his driveway.
Yeah, why don't you come over to my apartment in Ballard, and maybe we after you can meet my cat Arwen.
Yeah. Okay. Let me put that on my possible to-do list for the weekend. Where in Ballard are you?
Yeah, let me tell you exactly where I am.
Well, I mean roughly.
Sure. I'm near. I'm near Ballard High School.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you kind of on 65th?
Kind of.
Are you close to 65th?
Are you stalking?
He doesn't want to give out his location.
No. I'm not on 65th. I'm on 117th.
Okay. Are you east or west of Ballard High School?
I'm not good with east and west, Dory.
West.
Okay. All right, so are you close to my old junior high?
Oh, good.
Which isn't a junior high anymore? James Monroe,
yes.
Junior High School?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
He's in the vicinity.
Curious. All right. Okay. Is Ye Old Butcher Shop still there on 20th and 65th?
Why do I feel like this is an interrogation and I need a lawyer?
No, I'm going down memory lane.
Oh.
I traversed that strip every day of my life. When I was a kid.
Yeah, no.
I'm just curious. Do they still have a butcher shop on 20th and 65th? That's all I'm asking.
No, I don't know. I don't think there's a butcher shop there anymore. Mm-mm.
That's too bad. There aren't enough butcher shops. Double D Meats up in Mount Lake Terrace. They're solid gold. I love them, but there aren't enough butcher shops. Tell you what, you find yourself a good butcher, you don't let them go. Because they're worth their weight in beef, those people. So, all right, well, we'll figure out the whole hair thing. And by the way, Sean, Nicole got For the Love from me, not the other way around.
Really?
He claims that. I don't know.
Yes.
I did not know that. I thought it was because Nicole, you're so wholesome. You know, you come from the countryside of things, and I can see you saying For the Love, but I'm Dory, so I don't know about this.
I don't know either.
No, it's very true. When my girls were little, I would always say, for the love of all that's good and holy. And then my daughters and I just abbreviated it to For the Love. And then Nicole shamelessly stole it from me when we started working together. And now she uses it so much, everybody thinks that it's hers.
Yeah, yeah. I've never.
I had no idea that's where I got it.
I've never heard you say For the Love, yeah. Dory.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
does.
Well,
it's because people think. Yeah, I know I say it all the time. Okay, For the Love. All right, can we get to the Fast 15 here? A world of news.
Please,
I already said all
please.
That.
People have been waiting for your so Inslee getting... Trump ads all day.
I know it. Okay, so here's the thing. The president has been briefing with governors across the country. And yesterday, there was a report that things got testy between Jay Inslee and Donald Trump. Now, both of them, and to their credit, both of them, they've been talking very nice about each other, relatively. And they are publicly saying, oh, no, it's no big deal. But now we're getting some of the details. But here's what they were saying publicly about all of this. Here is Jay Inslee, who, when word was starting to leak out that their meeting got contentious, Jay Inslee disagreed.
I'm not going to relate the specifics of that call. We want to continue to have an open line of communication with the White House. So, yes, I did make a recommendation, and it wouldn't shock you, you know, to some degree that it was along the lines of what I've expressed, that I think it would be very, very helpful if the federal government could be more assertive and aggressive and more organized in helping all of us to obtain these systems. And I do think that there is a unique position in the United States. It's the presidency. And Americans really respond to that.
Okay. Now, I'll get back to that in just a minute. So here's Donald Trump. And we now know when he says something derogatory about one of the unnamed governors, we now know that he was talking about our Jay Inslee.
Been in constant communication with the governors, and we had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy. I wish the news could be real. I wish it could be honest. I wish it weren't corrupt. But so much of it is. It's so sad to see. Just so sad to see. We had a great meeting. I tell you what, I'm sure you have tapes of the meeting. I'm sure that you were able to get tapes very easily. So you had 50 governors plus. And if you had tapes, you'd see it was really, I mean, there's no contention. I would say virtually none. I would say maybe one person, there was a little tiny bit of a raising of a voice, a little wise guy, a little bit. But he was usually a big wise guy, not so much anymore. We saw to it that he wouldn't be so much anymore.
The Tom Brady thing,
so
I think
that's Jay Inslee.
He's very confused about.
Well, yeah, because here's a transcript. We now have a transcript from that call, and Donald Trump said, Jay Inslee said, Mr. President, we want you to use your authority to mandate the production of medical supplies. And the president said that as of right now, he's still delegating that to the states. And the reason is California, Washington, New York desperately need medical supplies. But throughout the heartland, you know, in Nebraska, the middle America, COVID-19 outbreak is very, very low. And so right now, the president believes that it's best decided at the state level. And so that's when the president said the federal government is the backup for you governors. And that's when Inslee raised his voice and said, I don't want you to be the backup quarterback. We need you to be Tom Brady here. An angry Inslee shot back at Trump, according to the Associated Press, which got a recording of the call. We're still trying to actually get the audio to play for you, too. But that's when Donald Trump said maybe one person was a little tiny bit of raising a voice, a little wise guy. He's talking about Jay Inslee. Now, here's what is so unbelievably ironic about this whole thing. Whenever the federal government has done anything the last 3+ years, who are the first two people to go racing to the microphones and saying that the president has overstepped his bounds and we're suing? It's Jay Inslee and Attorney General Fergie, Bobby Fergie. They have been, they've sued Trump, 30, 40, 50 times because the president doesn't know his place and he shouldn't overstep his bounds and we are better at the state level with all of these things. And now, all of a sudden, when the president says, okay, decide these medical supply issues at the state level, And then Jay Inslee goes, no, we need you to be our leader. We don't need a backup quarterback. We need you to be Tom Brady. It is so hypocritical of Jay Inslee, who has spent 3.5 years suing every single decision that the president has made. And now he says, we need you to make all the decisions, Mr. President. And it shows the unbelievable lack of leadership in someone like Jay Inslee. For purely political reasons, he files lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit against the president. And now he says, now the president should have total power and dominion over us in this issue. This has been my theme of the day.
Leaders are
consistent. Jay Inslee is not. Yes, Nicole.
Oh, sorry. I thought that Governor Cuomo actually, they obviously didn't get along very well either, but he talked about the using the DPA appropriately and said that Trump is using it appropriately. I just put that cut in there for you, and I thought it was a good example of, what they want it to be used for.
I haven't heard this. So there's that presidential act, and that Inslee says Trump should impose on the nation. And Governor Cuomo, brand new audio.
The president and his team, I think, are using the DPA well because it's basically a leverage tool when you're dealing with private companies, right? We need your help. We can demand your help, or you could agree to help, and we need you to step up and increase production.
Okay, so there you have Andrew Cuomo saying that the president, because it is essentially the government mandating what private companies must do, and that's a pretty heavy-handed act. And I'll tell you, if in any other circumstance, Donald Trump tried to tell private companies that you have to stop your main production and you have to start producing something else because the government's telling you to, Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee would be the first people to sue over that. And so this is why Jay Inslee started off okay a couple of weeks ago. Seemed somewhat decisive. We're closing the bars and restaurants. Nothing since then has had any consistency or decisiveness. We can't gather in groups, but we're keeping the buses and trains going. That's insane that we're packing people together on buses and trains when they tell us how dangerous that is. And then we just found out some more breaking news coming in from our crack transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan. Well, the Washington State Department of Transportation, they've announced that they are going to halt construction projects during this statewide shutdown. And again, this just shows you what dogs we have in the fields of transportation. Sound Transit and the Seattle Department of Transpo say they will continue their construction projects. So WashDOT yesterday stopped almost all of its projects, but Sound Transit and Seattle Department of Transportation, they're going to keep going with all of their projects. What sense does that make? So Sound Transit trying to build a line to Linwood that may or may not be done in 15 years that is going to cost over $100 billion when all is said and done. And they can't put a two-week or two-month halt on that because their desire, they would rather risk the lives of their construction workers. And maybe the construction workers would rather work than be at home quarantined. But what I know is we have no consistency when WSDOT says we're going to stop all projects and SDOT and Sound Transit say we're going to continue. They just want to keep screwing over the taxpayers. They want to keep spending the car tab money, which may dry up. There were some reports that could happen as soon as today. Now it looks like it's they're going to court so that they can keep screwing us over on car tabs. But we have no consistency in this state whatsoever. And I'll give you another glaring example of that coming up in the big lead at 2 o'clock today. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, some more. This is the kind of thing that KUOW, the shyster public radio grifters who censor one political party because they can't fact-check Trump, but they let Jay Inslee's press conferences go on unchecked. This is the kind of thing that the KUOW is censoring from its listeners. Medical professionals like Dr. Birx, who at the Coronavirus Task Force talked about how the media has made this ventilator shortage story fake.
Finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured and meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and there's still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. You can be thinking about it in a hospital. Certainly many hospitals talk about this on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now.
So why does the national media do that? Well, because they would rather peddle fake news in the hopes that it'll hurt the president than to just accurately report the news. And again, I'll give a lot of credit, with the exception of the grifters at public radio, our local media is doing a really good job of not politicizing this and of just presenting facts. I've been very impressed at how locally Seattle media, for the most part, has been covering the story. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. No, I'm out of time in the Fastest 15. That is your Fastest 15. Coming up next, I've decided
15 minutes in the news. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
While I'm all stuck here at home, I got to catch up with some old friends. So I decided to do it with you eavesdropping. A Seattle radio legend joins me next. Of mine sent me his song, I Don't Want to Shake Your Hand, last night. And here's how it came about. One of the things I've decided to do, since we're all home quarantined and we're all going crazy and we're driving our families crazy, I have to stay in touch with the people that I've lost touch with. And so last night, and I'm going to keep doing this for the days to come too. But last night, I dropped a random text message to my friend Bob Rivers, the most notable morning radio host in Seattle radio history, and he joins us from maple syrup land in the distant northeast of America. Bob, good to talk to you.
Just last week, I was writing you a fan letter, and I started like writing this gushing thing about how amazing your show has been, because believe it or not, I've been listening while boiling maple syrup and really think you're incredibly ahead of the curve to flatten the curve and on top of things. And I started writing the fan letter and I was like, I don't really like them that much. And
I never received it. Yeah, well, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, Bob.
Thank you. No, seriously, friends of mine started telling me that you were sounding the alarm like early on, and when people were saying, oh, it's overblown, it's not that big of a deal. And so I started to tune in, and, you know, I'm sitting boiling maple syrup sometimes till 4 in the morning and remembering you and what you said about contacting old friends.
Yeah.
I've been finding myself, and I wonder if lots of people are, suddenly reaching out and connecting with people you were very close to at one time that you haven't talked to in a long time.
The lesson we need to take away is we all need to do this. And the reason I thought about you last night was I just wanted a little music. I pulled up my DVR. I had an old Chicago concert. And maybe my favorite concert experience live ever was my wife and I with you and your wife, Lisa, up at Tulalip. And because you were such a heavyweight power broker up there, you got the four of us so we could stand right by the stage, and it was just fantastic. So I'm watching this concert last night, and I said, I'm going to get hold of Bob. And I'm glad we were able to touch base.
Thank you. And how are you and Suzanne? I heard you were holed up in your house and even doing your show remotely for a little while.
Yeah, no, everything's great. But my listeners already know how I am. Let's talk about you, because I said in the intro that you might be the most successful morning show personality in Seattle radio history. Is that a fair assessment of what you did here on Seattle radio?
Well, I recognize that I'm biased. I think that I was blessed to know lots of good people, including yourself. And mentor with great people, and had a team of people around me. If I was good at anything, it was trying to let everyone else shine and trying to be, you know, to be a good collaborator and care about the audience. So yes, we had a wonderful run, and I remember that, by the way, like when we were met backstage and we used to get perks. It's just like, now I get a 5% discount at the hardware store because I make maple syrup. But that's the days of, you know, just walking into concerts. That's kind of past.
Yeah, well, it has. And two things. Just to follow up on what you just said, because one of the things you taught me was you always said your role on the radio is as a facilitator. And that wouldn't work for my Monday through Friday show, but I do the Seahawks pre and post, and I'm surrounded by these amazing people who know a million times more about the game than I do. And it's just my job to try to bring out the best in them. And I've always thought about what I learned from you in that very important role in my life, because you're one of the people who really taught me about that.
Oh, thanks. That's really nice. And you know, I first met you sitting at a remote at Michael's Toyota. Don't know if they're still in business. When I was considering converting my show to a talk show, and I was scared to death of it. And people probably don't know this, but I walked into Dory Monson at a remote and I said, how do you do this? How do you keep the conversation going? And you were really quite humble. And told me, oh gosh, you used to have flop sweat. You used to really, and here's the thing I learned from you: hard work, total. No one is more dedicated at thinking hard and doing the research and really thinking things through for your point of view
whether I agree with it or not.
But
oh, you've made that clear a few times.
You right now, and I'm going to say this is not just a mutual love fest, but you right now are the most engaging news talk personality, one of the most engaging ones I've heard anywhere in the country, seriously.
Oh, stop. That's ridiculously nice, but I appreciate that. It really
is a great way for me to get more airtime, by the way. I'll just say stuff like that.
So before we let you get, this is what I've never really understood. So you have this huge morning show in Seattle. You have all this name recognition here, no doubt a million contacts. And then all of a sudden you move to, where are you, Vermont? Is that where you are now?
Yes.
Why? What are you doing with your life, Bob?
So before Seattle, before radio took off, I was in Vermont playing with some musical friends. My wife, I met about 8 miles from where I sit now. We got married in a church in Windsor. We had our children, Keith and Andrew, and some of my dearest lifelong friends, and my entire family was in New England. I spent the first, 33 years of my life in New England with family, and then I ditched them all. So a lot of people don't know this, but coming to New England was returning home and, out of the limelight a little bit, except now with this song. Can I tell you a little bit about the song?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm sitting in the Maple Sugar House, and I'm boiling syrup, and I read this article that says, "You Keep Your Hands to Yourself" by the Georgia Satellites is the song of the pandemic. So old instincts die hard. So I started trying to come up with lyrics for it. And I thought, that's not interesting. And then all of a sudden, as if struck by a bolt of lightning, I heard the Beatles sing, "You Gotta Wash Your Hands." And the moment I heard it, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's public service. It's not politics. It's not controversial. I called my son Keith. He said, "Your granddaughters would love it." I was like, "Sure. You mean you know the Beatles? It's not like OK Boomer." And he was like, "I love that song." So I thought, how can I make it? Because you can't have a recording session telling people to stay away from each other by gathering a bunch of musicians in a room. That would be kind of hypocritical.
Right.
And so we did the whole thing isolated, the same way you and I are using this technology. The whole recording session was just three people in different rooms. One guy, Rick Lovrovich in Seattle, totally quarantined, sang all the parts and played all the guitars. And now we're doing a crowdsource video. And, it's a little thing, but the song, I think, it's just a cute way to tell people to wash their hands. Simple as that.
I'm getting a message from Nicole that there's no way I can squeeze all this into one segment. So can you stick around for just a couple more minutes?
Why, more time for me? Let me consult my staff. No, absolutely.
It's my brand new feature, catching up with my contacts during COVID. Bob Rivers is the first of our guests. We'll do this next week as well. We'll continue the conversation in just moments here on the Dory Monson Show.
Got me wheezing in my lungs. Stay inside. No high fives. No high fives.
Well, it's my brand new feature. While we're all quarantined, I have to stay somehow in touch with the outside world. And so it's called Catching Up With My Contacts. I'm just going through my phone and calling people. It's been way too long since I've talked to them. Bob Rivers, the morning show legend in Seattle radio. So who else? He's joining us from his maple syrup farm in Vermont. How come you haven't sent me any maple syrup, by the way?
Well, because you haven't clicked on the link and sent me $70.
All time out.
You're a capitalist, 70? Aren't you, Dory?
$70 for a bottle of syrup?
For at bobrivers.blog. And by the way, if you let me say that, I'll just send you some. At bobrivers.blog, there's a link, and you will get 2 half gallons with free shipping, which a half gallon of maple syrup for $35 is actually cheap if it's small batch farm organic maple syrup. Now, The stuff you buy at the factory made stores, that's junk. They run through filters. It's not, okay. It's not the same.
Okay, I got it. How long would it take me to go through a half gallon?
Do you know how hard I work as a farmer? Do you know that I would make more money working at Walmart as a greeter?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sure. But you're doing it for the same reason. You just need something to pass the time until that sweet kiss of death comes along.
Yes. Oh, speaking of passing the time, you are connecting with old friends. Has it surprised you, some of the people that you think about that you maybe haven't thought about in a while?
Well, I you truly are the first one that I'm doing this with. But, you know, I was thinking I want to get hold of Pat Cashman. I've lost touch with him. Mm-hmm. Joel McHale, who's doing so great down in Hollywood. He and I were good buddies. And so I just want to go through the contacts and use this as an excuse for something that I could have done any other day of my life. But for, you know, I just didn't. And it's ridiculous. It's silly. When we can talk anytime with no long distance fees like it would have been when we were kids, it's ridiculous that I don't stay in touch with my old friends.
That's true, and ironic also that we're more connected than ever before with less time to actually sit back and have a casual conversation. It's strange. Yeah. We're FaceTiming all the time. We used to go to LA like every 5 or 6 weeks and hang out with the grandchildren, and by just doing video chat and Zoom and things like that, we're actually visiting more now, and it feels like we're in each other's living room. The technology has made that amazing.
It really has, because one of my daughters is not at the house with us while we're, you know, all sheltering in place, but we're talking every day and doing the same thing. Okay, before I let you go, Bob, because I said this when I introduced you, I asked the question if you were the most notable morning show person. So who else is in that conversation? BJ Shea certainly would be, I think.
One of my dearest friends, equal to you in terms of our radio careers and being friends during them. To me, anyone who spent years on the air giving themselves to, you know, provide the companionship and the intimacy, I think, that radio provides. It's not the same as, you know, having a cable news channel on. You're really warmly connected to the person. People like Robin and Maynard, people like even the Men's Room, people, you know, anybody who does this and puts a lot into it. The people who, the people like you, who I know spend just about every waking minute, even when you're experiencing life that isn't your show, thinking about how you can share it and what's meaningful and what's important. It's a real important thing to people to have someone to talk to and listen to that feels like a friend.
And especially a time like this when people physically more isolated. And that is the beauty of radio. It is the most intimate of mediums. And it reveals phoniness. If you can't do what you did for 4 hours a morning for so many years, or what I do for 3 hours a day, while being a phony. And because listeners will hear that.
Oh.
Instantly.
Absolutely.
And then you're done. Then you're done. Well, Bob, it is so great catching up with you. Yes.
Okay. My way around the phoniness thing was to just admit it. Okay, I'm playing devil's advocate. You got me. I'm a hypocrite. You know, just let it go. Use humor.
I never do that. Everything I say is 100% me. Yeah, that's how I get around.
You're as genuine as they come. Dory, I was really, really touched that you reached out to me, and I'll finish that letter I was writing to you. Please be well and stay safe, and Nicole and Suzanne and your whole family.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Bob Rivers from his maple syrup farm in Vermont, the first in our brand new series, Catching Up with My Contacts During COVID. Thanks to Bob Rivers. This is the song that he put together for these times, and we have news coming up, and then the Big Lead to 2 next here on the Dory Monson Show. Don't wanna shake your head.